Excuse me. Brought to you by rival college students, best friends, and lots of opinions. Hi, I'm Fev.
I'm Rox.
And this is, Excuse Me?
We're going to be discussing a very complex issue.
If homeboy is coming through with these, right. It's quiet. Yeah, no, right. It's quiet for him. But, like, if he comes through in, like, these,
yeah.
You got some Air Maxes out here.
Yeah.
You got some Jordans. Homeboy's going to, like, get it.
Okay, so, let's unpack this.
Yeah, I mean, homeboy can get it.
Oh, my God. I can't
believe... Is there anything wrong with me saying that?
I can't believe we're, like, letting this become a thing.
So, this just goes back to, I guess, quote-unquote, urban culture being the mainstream culture now.
Okay, but what's urban culture? Like, describe it to me. Like, just tell me what urban culture is.
Hip-hop culture?
Hip-hop culture? So, black culture.
Yeah, black culture.
But why is it popular? Why is it perceived to be cool? So, like, let's unpack why there's something wrong with this, because there definitely is something wrong with this.
Okay, it's because who is Bella Hadid? She's a supermodel.
Yes.
She comes from a very wealthy family.
Exactly.
She may not be... I don't think she's fully white, so... But still, she's not black.
No. And...
She's not from an urban inner city area where maybe this would be more common vernacular.
Yeah, she uses African-American vernacular. English, AAV, or Ebonics,
mm-hmm.
when she speaks, but there is no cultural background for her that explains why she would speak that way, other than the fact that she thinks it's cool.
Yeah, and maybe the music that she listens to uses language like that.
But let's not just attack Bella.
Right, yeah, no, it's a much larger issue. Yeah.
No, it's not, this isn't specific to her. This is actually much larger.
I mean, the whole thing about this video is just like, does someone actually talk this way? And yeah, there's a lot of people who talk this way who don't come from the background where language like this originated.
Or yeah, they don't necessarily look like her either.
Exactly.
This is definitely huge, huge, huge among celebs that are not black.
The Kardashians, for example.
Kardashians are the peak of this all, probably.
Just trying to embody black culture.
Yeah.
Using it for their branding.
I like to say that people hate the Kardashians for all the wrong reasons. Like, I feel like people hate the Kardashians for...
They're like, oh, they're famous for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Those kinds of statements.
Yeah, people like to hate on them for...
Or the way they look.
Changing the way they look. But I think the bigger problem is how they adopt black culture and basically try it on, see how it fits.
Market it.
Yeah, and yeah, they profit off of it.
Without ever talking about any of the implications of it.
Yeah. I mean, this could go from any... And this ranges from using, like, darker foundation shades to even changing their lips. I mean, Kylie Jenner is what people think of when they see big lips or so. And these are the same features that were made fun of on the bodies of black women historically. I mean, like, they used to have, like, Hot and Tot Venus, where they would just... And it just, like, they would put, like, people, like, black people on stage or just put them in front of an audience, and then they would dress up as black people in, like, blackface, and they would have these exaggerated features because this was how a black person was supposed to look. And I think, like, this is just a modified contemporary version of that. I don't want to dive into, like, the portrayal of black women and just, like, misrepresentation, because there's so much, like, hypersexualization, fetishization, all the T-I-O-N things.
Yeah,
but,
the shuns.
Yeah, the shuns. And, but, like, let's dive into more celebrities.
Miley Cyrus, the most obvious one. This year, I mean, in 2013, she comes out with this, like, new look, new music that's very much hip-hop influenced.
Yeah, she's ditched the Hannah Montana, Little America Sweetheart.
She's being edgy now,
yeah.
quote-unquote, because... because now she's associating with Black culture.
I mean, twerking, that yeah. word.
Oh my God. Her making twerking into this like new fad.
Yeah. When it's been around.
Yeah.
I it's mean, just when someone white does it, it's.
Then you're going to ignore the years of people throwing it back.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the biggest thing I think is this new image was seen as inappropriate and all these things.
People like, vilified her for it.
Exactly. And it's like, why are we. Well, I mean, there's actually there was two sides to it. Half the people were saying this is like the thing she was doing. They're like, oh, she's no longer the little girl that we want to represent our little girls. And it's interesting because a lot of these things that she adopted were from Black culture. Yeah. And then there's the other half of people who are like, don't make fun of her for it. Like, I want to do these things too.
And there's nothing wrong with it, you know?
There's nothing wrong with what she's doing. It's the fact that she's doing it.
Yeah. And even if she had done that and that was her new, I guess, like, maybe it was actually an interest of hers.
Yeah.
That she was demonstrating and that she would, like, keep, she would continue on with, it might have been okay. But then she dropped it.
The biggest thing, yeah, one of the biggest things is that she dropped it. So she comes out with Malibu and then she has this emotional performance and everyone's like, oh, this is great. Was it a New Yorker article that talked about how she basically ditched her whole Black persona and she switches to Malibu and younger now and like
her and new she talked image. About this too of why she left the hip-hop culture.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't agree with all of the messaging in this culture. And then that is, so she's still supporting this generalized idea of what a lot of mainstream people think hip-hop culture is.
Like, it's not her place to deconstruct hip-hop culture when she was profiting off of it just a few
and
years before.
That's not just hip-hop culture. That's just a lot of mainstream pop culture.
Yeah.
What's idealized is, like, you have a lot of beautiful women. Mm-hmm. And you will disrespect them and you will also have a lot of money. And that's what a lot of music centers around. It's not just hip hop, like pop music does too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the lines blur between...
Country music does as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's every genre of music.
Every genre does. That's just like what a popular idea of what being successful means.
Yeah, you have to disrespect women to
be successful. And acquire wealth.
Yeah, exactly. And Justin Bieber is also a big one. Do you want to speak on this?
On the Biebs?
On the Biebs.
Well, on his most recent album, Purpose, for example, mm-hmm. he definitely took on more of a hip-hop vibe as well.
Yeah, and his...
Collaborating with Travis Scott, for example.
Yeah, his image definitely shifted. And I mean, let's talk about his dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah. I think the issue in all of this is... that it's a trend, but this is people's actual lives as well. Like, this is a culture, but now it's a trend.
Like, it's cool to have Black culture if you're not Black.
I feel. But if you're Black, then you are also faced with all the negative implications of it.
Yeah.
Of stereotypes.
Yeah.
And people discounting you because they, like, have these assumptions about what they think you're going to be like.
Exactly. And, I mean, let's go to, like, college culture.
Right.
This is...
The Greek life.
Oh, God. Greek life.
Specifically, fraternities and how, you know, fraternities are pretty homogenous. What do they consist of? What do fraternities consist of?
Fraternities consist of white boys.
Yeah.
But
copious amounts of white males.
Really. And they like to intertwine their EDM with a lot of... hip-hop and rap music.
Yeah, and I've definitely been in situations, whether it be at a party or just in some sort of social setting where a song is playing and the N-word will come up and you just, like, look around you, like, conscious of, like, will these white people say the N-word? I've heard them say it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's, like, it's okay when you're singing. Obviously, it's not. But to them, it's like, oh, I'm just singing it. Like, it doesn't... It's like
the word... It's in the song. It's okay.
The word holds a lot of meaning in any context.
Right.
And it's just not your word to reclaim. And
my personal philosophy is, like, this... I'm not affected by the implications of this word.
Yeah.
So it's not in my place to use it.
Exactly.
And I'm going to respect what the people who... Like, Black people... Clearly, this is a word that is so important in Black culture. And I'm going to respect that and not make my own judgments on it, not use and just stay away from it as someone who's not black.
If you're not black, don't say it. Like, at the end of the day.
And it's not in my place to say that, oh, it's okay for me to say it or not.
Exactly.
It's not my judgment to make.
Exactly. And then on the flip side, we have, like, the blackface parties.
UCLA in 2015, there's this LA Times article about how they threw a Kanye West-themed party where people came in blackface.
And, I mean, this is not exclusive to, like, one university. I mean, Dear White People, the show and the movie, obviously, like, this is what they were talking about too. It's interesting how, like, blackness is seen as a costume, and it's like,
I'm reading this now about it was Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity and Alpha Phi sorority at UCLA wore baggy clothes or dressed like Kardashians, and some wore blackface, according to the Daily Bruin article about this, and this sparked huge protests on campus.
It's ridiculous how, I mean, we're in the 21st century. Obviously, you would think that you could put two and two together and just, like, know not to do this. But
you're trying on someone else's culture as a costume.
Yeah.
I think there's different lines with that. I think there is a huge difference between appreciating and appropriating a culture.
Yeah.
I don't know. With my background as being Persian, like, if someone is going to want to, like, listen to Persian music or wear a traditional Persian dress, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think it's just bringing more attention to my own culture, and I really appreciate that. But it's different if they're, like, marketing this thing that's been in my culture for years as some new trend.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that this reminds me of is hair and the, like, braids and dreadlocks, and how black people will do these hairstyles because they need to protect their hair. Like, I know, like, I need to protect my hair. And, like, I do, like, box braids and stuff because I'm, like, oh, my God. Like, I have classes to go to. I have this to do. I have that to do. I don't have time to, like, sit down for a half hour or an hour and, like, do my hair every night and, like, wrap it up and then go to sleep and then wake up in the morning, make sure it looks fine. And it's, like, it takes so much time out of my day that I have to do braids or faux locks or whatever hairstyle. But non-black people will do the hairstyle just because they find it attractive. And
Do you find issue with me braiding my hair?
My issue with braiding hair is don't get box braids. Like, don't get hairstyles that are exclusive to the black community just because you think they look nice. Because...
So dreadlocks as well.
Yeah. I mean, dreadlocks are... Obviously, like, in the workplace, like, I have, I know someone was telling me how they want to wear their hair in braids to work, but they can't because their boss will be like, what are you doing? Like, you can't wear this hairstyle outside of, like, your house, basically, because it's not seen as professional. It's seen as dirty or unkempt. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, like, when the same thing goes for wearing your hair out, like, in a fro or so. And when white people and just other non-black people do these hairstyles and then they get praised for it, it's like, how come when I did it, I'm being ridiculed? And it's obviously the race problem.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. And it's just like, you can't, there is a line between appreciation and appropriation, but this is definitely falling heavy on appropriation. But
and that, I guess, also leads into back to the Bel Hadid concept of the vernacular that people use.
Yeah.
Like, people, when black people use, I guess, Ebonics.
Yeah.
People consider that to be unprofessional or uneducated.
Yeah.
But when white people do it, they're cool.
And it's edgy.
It's edgy. And sometimes even the idea of woke.
Yeah. The word woke has, I feel, been beaten so hard.
I mean, we could say at the end of this podcast, oh, like, you're listening to this and you're more woke now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But does that have meaning anymore?
It doesn't. And woke is overdone and overused. And it actually evolved. It came out of Ebonics. It came out of, like, the black community was the ones that coined stay woke.
Yeah.
And then now it's being marketed on, like, t-shirts at Forever 21. It's just the idea of being woke and being socially conscious, and activism has not lost meaning, but I feel like it's being profited off of because it's the new cool thing. Like, social justice has become this thing where it's cool to be woke, and it's cool to, like, let people know that you're woke. And companies are just trying to make money in the best way that they can. But for certain people, like, our identities are inherently political, so we don't have the option of being like, oh, like, I'm woke because I, like, petition for these specific rights. Because, like, I'm petitioning for my rights.
Right. And companies are definitely trying to profit off that as well. Like, with that Pepsi ad with Kendall Jenner.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to seem, like, so-called woke, but it just fell flat because I guess they don't actually understand the underlying issues that people are fighting for behind this concept. They just see, oh, like, social justice is now cool, so we're gonna, like, have this ad that looks very social justice themed, but, like, just doesn't have any of the depth of actual movements.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the problem, to wrap it all up, the problem with all these things is that it has a cultural significance for a certain population, and the adoption of it as a cool thing erases that. And the biggest thing is that...
But it might bring attention to it.
It does.
But you just can't erase everything that's behind that thing.
Yeah. And so, like, it's really hard to distinguish between what's genuine and what's just marketing.
Like, with hair, you can't erase, like, as you're saying with the box braids and stuff, like, oh, if that becomes, like, a new trend, you can't erase that, like, that is a protective hairstyle that's necessary for people.
Yeah.
With costumes, for example, if you wear a Native American headdress, like, you can't ignore that that is something of cultural significance.
Yeah, that's true. And you just don't do blackface. Like, I think that's my... Don't do black
biggest
or brown
takeaway
face.
From this.
Yeah, don't do black or brown.
That is
face.
Never okay.
And then the same things that you're praising white people for are the same things that people of color are being targeted for. Because at the end of the day, everyone has stereotypes.
Right.
But white stereotypes aren't gonna get you in trouble.
They're not gonna prevent you from getting a job.
Yeah. And
at the end of the day,
the more we promote these stereotypes, the more it leads to assumptions in the professional world. And at the end of the day, they can take this costume off and move on to the next fad, but we can't.
We see you, Miley.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I'm Fev.
I'm Rox.
And this was
Excuse Me.